Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello and welcome to what it turns out is our 51st podcast, which is extraordinary. Who knew? I'm sure when we started, we thought we were going to do the odd one, didn't we? And
I don't know what we thought, to be honest. I just thought it came into my head and it would be a wonderful thing to do. And I suppose my mother thought it would be instant fame and riches, but so far, not so much. I says, are you making any money from it yet? And we're sort of going, no.
It's not really the point, though.
Not really
surely.
The point. No, it's not really the point. No. Well, what is the point? You have to earn a living. Is it? Well, yes. How are you, Mum?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that I remember, I mean, that I might be making this up entirely, but I was thinking about this the other day when I saw that we'd just done our 50th, which was mind-bending enough. We're going to be, it's going to be our birthday, for heaven's sake.
It is going to be our birthday, anyway. And we can't even meet to have cake.
I know, but so nearly, so nearly.
Yes.
So very, very, very nearly. I think we can meet to have cake after our birthday, but before the next one, can't we?
Cool. Still can't have our hair cut, though, can we?
Oh, for God's sake. I'd never cut my hair anyway. But, yeah, I swear I remember that it was going, we were going to do a monthly thing to see how it went, and then we went straight into lockdown as almost as soon as we'd started.
That's right.
And then decided that actually, as the feedback, the response had been, oh, my God, this is great, that maybe it was a good offering for lockdown. Both of us, I think, believing that that would be about 3 weeks worth.
Yes, this is true. And it was going to be nurturing for us.
Yeah.
And I always say to everybody, even though it's not what Christianity traditionally teaches, it's exactly what Jesus meant, is that you've got to take care of yourself so you can take care of the other.
Yeah, you cannot.
Love your neighbour as yourself, not more, not less.
Can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, exactly. Clean the inside of the cup out before the outside of the cup and all that. So we actually got a new listener who messaged me, I think about 4 days ago now, but by the time this goes out, it'll be a week ago. And it was just so lovely to have somebody say, oh, I've just come across your podcast and I've just started listening and it's so appropriate. My daughter was in an evangelical church and has left it and I've been wondering and this is so refreshing. And it's so lovely to have that kind of boost to remind us why we're doing it. Because I know it's become really important to me this last year. So thank you very much. Yeah. The knowledge that we would at least be Zooming.
Yeah. I was talking, thank you and you too. I was talking with someone on Zoom the other day and suddenly realised that apart from, you know, the person I bump into in the street kind of thing, and then there's an actual human you can actually talk to, even if they are, you know, too far away to touch, but that of the connections that I could remember over the last year and of the connections that I felt were truly nourishing, they'd all been over Zoom, and that phone conversations and, you know, exchanges via WhatsApp or email or whatever, just they're not as touching to me because I am a very, very visual person, it turns out. And to be able to see your face is so important. And so even if we're, you know, we don't talk rubbish, but even if we're wittering away on something that's really unpersonal, I still feel the connection really strongly. And that's been so important to me. And yeah, I used to joke pandemic sponsored by Zoom, but actually.
Actually, well, it's as good a theory as any of the others, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I didn't mean that, but you know. But as a company, my goodness, they must have done so well out of it.
And they've become generic, like Hoover, haven't they?
Yeah.
Or Barrow. Shall we Zoom? You know, Zoom, which platform?
I know, but, you know, good on them, because they facilitated, certainly in my life, my profound need for the company of other women. You know, yes. I have a husband and three sons, and, you know, oh my God, I love them more than words will ever be able to convey. But I desire and need the company of grown-up women.
Yes. Well, our bubble is basically one other lady who's currently on her own. Her daughter's left home and she comes for supper on Saturday. And it's amazing how nurturing that is, because she's our bubble, we can see her, we can sit together, we can eat together, and we can just be almost normal.
Yeah, yeah. You can be in the same room, which is a biggie, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And also she's vegetarian and we're not, so it means that I cook vegetarian one night a week. And bless her, she's always saying, cook, just give me the vegetables. But it's a really good discipline for me. I'm really enjoying it.
Mm.
And I'm having better conversations with vegetarians and vegans and holding my ground a bit more, because I don't think going vegan is the answer. Because I love the insects. And the way we are at the moment, if the world goes vegan, Monsanto wins. Do you see what I mean?
I see what you're saying. I hadn't thought of it like that. And it does. It's not inexorably so.
No, but that would be my fear.
Right.
Yeah. And it's simply because I'm not in any way supportive of factory farming, of cows being shipped. There's a horrible story at the moment about some cattle which got a disease in transit on some ship in the Mediterranean that have been in there for a couple of months now because nobody will let them land.
Jesus.
And there isn't even a vet on the ship. You know, that kind of thing makes me weep for sorrow that we are so viciously, thoughtlessly, ignorantly cruel, willfully ignorantly cruel. But on the other hand, we live on Dartmoor. You can't have arable land here.
Mm.
The farmer down the road's a sweetheart. The farmer up the road's a sweetheart. The farmer just there is a sweetheart. And their cattle have got names. They're not intensively farmed. I can't see. Anyway, I'm preaching
to the converted.
Probably. But it's just this thing about how can you eat seasonally, sustainably in England?
Much less meat.
Much. Utterly. Well, this is one of the reasons why it's lovely that this lady is coming round, because I'm committed to it. I make about 5 vegetarian meals a week, but I'm committed to finding new recipes. Mm. She doesn't need me to. I do. It's this goal thing. It's better than sourdough. Can't do sourdough. Can't do really, really hopeless at sourdough.
Okay.
And the marmalade took 3 efforts as well. Anyway, oracle card.
Oracle card. Okay. So this week's oracle is the Mystic Shaman Oracle by the incomparable Alberto Villoldo. I never know how to say his name. Villoldo. Villoldo. Colette Baron Reald and Marcella Marcella Lobos. And it is a beautiful and intriguing deck. The cards are very kind of watercolory, beautiful images.
Yes. Oh, they're exquisite, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, sorry, listener.
Goodness me. Yeah, I beg your pardon. I just picked up The Luminous Warrior. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Can you see that one as well?
Yeah, I can. I can.
Sorry. The Holy Mountain. I like that one. And I love the fact that there's a funny little Buddha figure sitting on top of the Holy Mountain, which I sincerely doubt you'll be able to pick up the detail of.
Oh. No. Yeah. Well, it was
anyway,
the way the warrior caught the light. Honestly, it wasn't the six pack, but all the face.
The card that has come up for what shall we talk about today is the card for water. And this, the little guidebook that goes with the Mystical Shaman Oracle, has it divided into 3 things: the essence, the invitation, and the medicine. So the essence, it says, water symbolizes purification, regeneration, birth, revival, and cleansing. and it signifies an evolutionary shift from former self to new self. And when I read that, it just made me really, really, I guess hope was the predominant emotion, that maybe culturally, as we come out of lockdown, maybe we are going to achieve the, in my opinion and estimation, longed for shift towards a culture who don't do to cows the things that you were just describing, but who think more about what the consequences of their actions might be, understand their indivisibility. I mean, our the ways in which we are indivisibly interwoven with the rest of nature are now incontrovertible. Science,
yeah,
even, you know, dear old bloody old science is owning it these days. Yeah. And so surely now is the perfect moment.
It's always the perfect moment, but surely now we'll raise a certain level of consciousness. Because it only needs an infinitesimal raise for it to slowly work round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pray and hope that that is the case. I'm not quite as optimistic as you, which is odd because I'm usually very optimistic, but I hope so. I really, really hope so. Because apart from anything else, we've discussed this before and we're going to start going round in circles because we're coming back to the point of season that we were before, which is lovely. So we will almost certainly repeat ourselves. And having said that, I've forgotten what I was going to say.
I think you said that before. You're definitely repeating yourself.
Well, now, were you listening? Do you know what I said? No idea what's
not. Not a clue.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll change the subject. Water cleansing. Yes, coming. Oh, coming out and understanding a bit more about nature. Yes, there is a link to that, which is the Lent thing, which I wanted to talk about, because we are in Lent again. And I think we would have started in Lent, as it's nearly 52 years.
Oh, oh, dear.
That's the same. It's dragging. Yeah. Oh, the sacred is give and take. I used to, when I was a reporter on the local newspaper in the old days when you had paid for weekly local newspapers that were delivered because you didn't have the internet or anything like that, or 24-hour news. You got the news at 6 o'clock and the news at 10 and that was it.
Yeah.
Or news at 9, sorry. I've done it again.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, this is hopeless. Right, Lent. Yes, Lent. We come around again to Lent, and that, of course, is about cleaning. I'm feeling the urge to spring clean, and I know a lot of other people are. There is this psychological spruce things up, get something beautiful planted, clean the carpets. Go on.
The medicine of the water card. This is the time for cleansing unwanted energy and sticky feelings. Consider this. What water does to the flesh, it does in sacred ritual to the spirit.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Beautiful. And as usual, the one that calls herself the vicar, rather witchily, starts talking on the subject of the card, unbeknownst.
But my point is that the patterns of the universe are universal. That's the whole point. It would be ridiculous for a would-be mystic in the Christian tradition not to be in tune with the seasons and with the pagans and hopefully with the Sufis and the mystics of all other faiths.
Talking of being in tune, sorry, I'll let you speak about Lent in a minute, but talking of being in tune with the seasons, etc., I do find it, well, deeply disheartening that it's so bloody far away, but extraordinary that we're going to be let out of lockdown fully on the summer solstice. And apparently, I haven't yet looked into what are the other completely congruent dates, but evidently somebody's spotted that the dates upon which we've been in and out of our various tiers and all the rest of it are often aligned with notable turning of the wheel events.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so probably should have looked up at the astrology as well, but life's been a bit too busy. No, so, I just never thought of it. Well, that's actually what astrology is, what all these things are. Are they just observations of how the universe works?
Yeah.
Of how it goes in circles. And one of the things about the lovely thing about Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, about the updating of it, is that you spot all the other teachers that update as well. And my favourite is Richard Rohr in New Mexico, because his updating of what it means, Jesus' temptations in the desert, she says, quickly wibbling it round to learn. But I just love this, because we look at, if we're looking at the Bible, if we're looking at the Gospels, we're going, yeah, story, old, this doesn't, not relevant to us. There isn't really a devil. There isn't really a Jesus standing on a mountain and the devil saying, jump off. Mm. But this whole point of temptation that comes from the ego. And I think that Lent, certainly in our calendar, is about looking at those, cleaning out those inner habits, not just the outer habits. But if you think about it, there are three temptations of from the devil. I don't know if you would know them.
I do know that there are three temptations. Yeah. Three temptations of Christ, probably because it's a famous painting. Yeah. But what those might be. Oh, well,
turn stones into bread.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he do that anyway?
Throw yourself off. No, he multiplied
already. Oh, yeah, loaves, that was it.
Yeah. Throw yourself off a mountain because God will save you. And power over the whole of the world. Those are the three things that the devil offered him. And just to update them a little bit, the first one, turn stones into bread. You could feed the starving. You could become impressive. You could become the saviour. You could be the one that everybody revered. You could be the one that everybody said, oh, Martin Luther King, yes, but what about Maggie Whitehouse? Do you know what I mean?
It makes my blood run cold.
Yes, to turn stones into bread. And you would think, oh, what a wonderful thing to do. But if you've ever seen Evan Almighty or Bruce Almighty, the power, unlimited power to do something like that, the responsibility and the hideousness that it
horrible.
Brings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's that desire to be the good one. Mm. And that's a subtle interpretation of it that I'd never come across before. And all if we're healers, certainly when we start off, we do it for the wrong reasons. Mm. Well, not everybody. I'm sure there's lots of you out there who started for the right reasons, but I didn't.
What reasons did you start?
Oh, well, I sort of did. I started because Henry had died and I wanted to make sure that nobody else had to go through that.
That sounds like a...
Yeah, but I wanted to be the good one who did it.
Okay.
I don't think I looked at my motives very clearly back in those days. But there is a certain amount of... The way the ego works is we want our strokes.
Yeah.
We want people to say we're a good girl or a good boy.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with our pets, of course. Good girl, yeah. Bad dog. And that's what we crave at the ego level. So this temptation is to be thought to be the saviour. Which, of course, Jesus was supposed to be. Mm. But there's the humility that you require. And it certainly in the New Age, I did this absolutely. You know, I trained in something and thought I knew everything. Mm-hmm. And wanted to take the next step up. You know, wasn't actually willing to take the time. And you can always tell when it's an ego thing because it needs instant gratification. Mm. And the next thing.
Yeah.
And the next thing. And without wishing to sound horribly, we do it right. We don't necessarily do things right, but we're still watching Battlestar Galactica. We've been doing that since about August. We're watching two episodes a week. And actually, I think it's an excellent TV show. It's got mysticism in it. It's got all sorts of odd little things. I don't know if you've
never seen one, no.
But two a week is wonderful because we're not binge-watching it. And I'm coming back to this again. But I look forward to it.
Yeah.
And it's lasted.
Yeah.
And it's quite enough. At the end of it, we go, oh, we better go for a walk, or shall we read for half an hour or something? Whereas I think if we, the wonderful excitement of watching them all over a week or 2 weeks, it would be mind-blowing for the adrenaline. But what would you do the rest of the year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so that I'm coming off the subject. So the other temptations are... throw yourself off and God will rescue you. Well, that's the desire to be superior.
Okay. Because you're special and God will rescue
you. Yes, you're special, which comes back to the dominion over all the world.
Mm.
God will save me.
Mm.
And that's, you know, an hour's debate at least, isn't it, about what does dominion mean? And so basically that's about pride, which is I'm special.
Yeah.
I'm more special than you. And I'm still asking myself, and I'm still losing every day, but I'm getting a little bit better, which is whenever I look at something which has got packaging or I want to buy something, I go, is having this more important than the planet?
No, that's such an ugly, yeah, great question. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you for that question.
You're very welcome. And I succumbed to a pair of slippers because I can't go out to the shops and get a new pair of slippers. I need some slippers. So I have got some new slippers. But I'm very proud to say I've also got some new secondhand summer clothes.
Hurrah!
God, I like online shopping. Anyway, and the third temptation is power over the world, controlling things. And in a certain former president of the United States, you can see all three of those.
Yes, you can.
And you can see all three of those in an awful lot of politicians and a lot of celebrity folk, because they are the great temptations of our time. Look at me, I'm prettier, smarter, taller, more talented, more of a winner. So love me and admire me.
Do you think that's for real? Is that what they really think, or is that how they are interpreted by the media?
It's probably how they are interpreted by the media, but you become your media's beast. Whatever the media projects onto you, it starts to filter through.
Wow. Yeah, be careful
what you wish for.
Because they become your words, which become your actions, which become your life, and I guess your thoughts get fed by...
Yeah.
By what's being reflected back to you about yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, that explains something I've noticed myself doing recently, which is every now and then I have seen myself, and I have to say, been embarrassed by it, seen myself deliberately make myself look an idiot. And I have arrived at the conclusion in this exact moment here in this split second that maybe it's because I've got such a thing of like, oh, please, God, don't ever let me believe any publicity about me, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
That I'll deliberately take myself down over and over and over again just to make sure everyone's really clear.
That you're not a guru.
Yeah, Susie Crockford's a wanker like everyone else.
Mind
for want
you,
of a better expression.
I'm going to use my Aquarian Mars and flip that round at the moment. When I was ordained, there was the whole thing about, are you going to wear a dog collar?
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop, bless him, said to me, well, usually everybody wears one to start with, but they get over it. They'll get over it. And he said, the only reason, and I've said this before, I know the only place definitely to wear a dog collar, apart from in church or at ceremonies, is on a long distance flight, so everybody knows who to blame. In a hospital or hospice. But it's... God, I lost the thread again. What's the matter with me today? Where were we? I shall stare into the distance at a beagle that is snoring to see if I can get my thread back.
Oh.
The thing is, you're not listening either, are you?
I am. I'm also feeling really vacant today. Maybe there's something in the stars.
Maybe we're both a bit vacant.
You will know, yeah.
Yes.
So you were talking about Lent, and we were also talking about the ego and the
yes, we were, weren't
we? The call of the ego to be. Maybe you're doing it too. Perhaps you're just.
Yeah, got it. Well, got it. Thank you. The dog collar thing.
Oh yes.
I've also come across ministers. Not so much in Orthodox churches, weirdos like me, who won't wear one. And that's just as much pride as wearing one for status.
Okay.
Because it is an important... if you are saying... It's an important messenger. The conversations you would have with somebody in a supermarket or somewhere else when you wear a dog collar are completely different from the conversations when you don't.
Yeah.
And... You might well say, well, who wants to talk to somebody with a dog collar? Well, it's fine, they can avoid you.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to say something bitter about God and this person with the dog collar there, they've got the opportunity to do it. or if somebody wants to ask a question or ask for prayer or something, they can identify you. And I think it's one of these really moot things, which is when you really, really want to wear a dog collar, you shouldn't. And when you don't want to wear one, maybe you should try it. Mm.
What comes up as you say that for me is that also there must be, in some ways, bearing in mind that Christianity is certainly nominally still the religion of this land. Mm. If you are a person who feels supported by the idea that there is a God and by the idea that other people share at least just loosely that belief that there is a God, there must be something quite nicely reassuring about seeing the odd person in a dog collar or a nun's habit or whatever, just to know that in our incredibly unspiritual world, amongst all the aisles of all the shit, of all the things you can buy, if you pass a vicar in whatever, name your supermarket here, that the world is not an entirely spiritless place.
If that's your feeling, inclination, yes. Yeah. And yes, I think that's absolutely right. A lot of people may just look at you and think you're a deranged idiot. But then they might well think you were a deranged idiot anyway. They just don't, they can't project it at that point. But generally people are polite to you, which is nice. Mm. Which is lovely.
Yeah. I mean, I know I have a whole kind of, I so exactly know what you mean with the, you should wear the dog collar.
If you don't want to.
Because there is obviously within kind of pagan and witchy circles, there is a whole look.
Mm.
In fact, perhaps a number of looks that go with kind of, you know, being pagan and witchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, at one end have the far extremes of head to toe black and skulls and, you know, yes, all the rest of it. But at the other end, you know in my own way I conform to a total and utter stereotype. I am a scruffy little Dartmoor dweller who wears almost exclusively green and brown, slightly raggedy clothing, you know, and that's as much a statement of my kind of hedge witchery as if I wore a dog collar or entirely black things with lots of marvellously pentagrammic jewellery or whatever.
Yes.
And that how we present ourselves is most definitely part of our ego. And to a degree also, although it can obviously be part of the broken ego or part of the inflated ego, whatever you want to call it, when you're saying, look, I'm really important, I'm better than you because I only wear secondhand clothing and I'm very green and that's cooler than you in your pink or whatever it is. You know, if it's coming from there, then pants to it. But yes, if it's coming from, this is how externally I express the truth of what it internally I feel myself to be, and my curation, to take it to a real extreme, of my appearance, which we all do, even if it's the I don't care what I look like curation, yes, of my appearance.
Yes, yes, true.
Is if it's a kind of an offering to the world of this is who I am and what I'm like without a subtext of so therefore I'm better than you and you should admire me and if you're wearing pink you're not in my tribe kind of thing. Other colours may also apply.
And other versions of pink.
And other versions, yeah. Then fine. You know, it's not intrinsically wrong.
No.
To want to look like what you feel you are.
Yes.
It's only this sort of subtext that is funding that.
Yes. It's always a subtext. It's always the story, isn't it? The story behind
totally.
It. I remember years and years ago in the punk era, I was walking in London and there was a group of young punks and this girl had this incredible rainbow-coloured Mohican.
Mm.
It was extraordinary. And she had chains hanging from her. She looked like something. She was incredible. She was stunning. Mm. I'm not sure if I liked the look, but that's irrelevant. She was incredible. She was a peacock.
Yeah.
And I was looking at her, and she looked at me and went all snotty. What are you looking at then? And I said, you. And she said, why? And I said, because you're magnificent. And she was trying to get arsey with me, and I was laughing and saying, how can you go around? Oh, I've got a growly being. How can you go around being so magnificent and not want to be looked at? Excuse me, I'm going to let this dog out. But she was obviously doing it to make a statement that she was wrong or something. If she didn't want people to look at this beauty.
Or maybe because you weren't of her tribe. Perhaps she wants her tribe to look at that beauty.
Yes, good point.
And considers it a confrontation to the rest of society, which would include you. I'm guessing you didn't have a Mohican. And that, therefore, she was basically expecting your disapproval.
Yes, I think she was expecting and maybe even wanting it. Yeah. Yes. But in fact, she was... The very fact that I can remember her now, all those years later, shows how spectacularly magnificent this woman was.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she's still alive, and I never will, but she touched and changed my life.
Cool.
And I always love that. What we call Teferet moments in Kabbalah, those moments that are just a tiny scene in time that will stay in your brain forever.
Yeah.
And they can be such simple, simple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Simply, yeah. It's extraordinary what can touch us, isn't it? And what can change us.
Little things like in the old days, when we were so broke. We were £50,000 in debt and really in trouble. It was struggling to go along and too proud to go bankrupt or anything like that, which somebody told me was the best thing they ever did once. And it was a simple thing, like I was walking along the road and I needed elastic bands. I didn't have any. And in our road in those days, the postman dropped the red elastic bands on the ground.
Yeah.
So I just walked around the streets and picked up a year's supply of elastic bands. It's just so, so simple. But I remember that simple request.
Mm.
And you can easily say, well, the bands were there anyway. It wasn't your request. Well, I didn't have to walk that way round, or I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to look down.
Yeah.
But I remember that because it was just such a little sign of abundance.
Yeah, beautiful.
I think we're done.
Oh, okay, we've already run out. Oh my God, next time it's our birthday.
It's our birthday. See you next week.
Bye.